already said at the end of Sunday school, we're going to touch on a number of things Joe talked about this morning. We're going to go a different direction with it. If you'll open your Bibles to John chapter 14, I'm going to start with one verse. And we're going to build off of this verse. Today's question, I'm answering a little differently today than I have the last few weeks. You know, we've been tackling some of these spiritual issues and some of these questions that we all have. And then this question today was posed to me it was after service one night. Unfortunately, the person that asked me is not here, but we're going to answer it anyway. You can listen online. On the way out the door, I got the question of, is there more than one way to God? I'm going to give you a simple answer first, and then we're going to break it down. I'm going to go ahead and answer the question. I haven't really done this. No, there's not. It's plain and simple. But as we dive in this morning, I think we need to take the time to answer this because it's one of the most fundamental questions that we have within the faith. It's one of the most fundamental situations that we can look at and face. And that is there more than one way for us to reach God? Now, I say no, there's not. And the reason I say no, there's not comes from John 14, 6, where Jesus answers the question and says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I mean, there's no, you know, that pretty well answers the question. And we can go on to the house, right? But the thing is I think we need to get a little deeper into this question today for us to truly understand this. I don't really want to stop there today, but I do want to open in prayer. So let's do that. Lord God, we just thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to come into your house. Lord, I pray that my words will be your words this morning, that you would move through this service. And it would not fall on deaf ears. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you today for who you are. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one can come to the Father but through Christ Jesus. We thank you that we have that promise today. And we lift it up before you now in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we look at this today, I want to take a few minutes this morning and dive in a little bit deeper into this than just this verse goes. And we will come back to this scripture. So put a mark in it, put your finger in it, whatever. We're going to look at the whole section of scripture here in just a few minutes. But honestly, I think that we know the answer to the question, but I think we live like we think it's a different answer. Now, if that comes across in a weird way, this morning, let me rephrase it like this. We live like we think the answer to the question is yes, that there are many ways to Jesus or to God. And as I break this down, I see four ways, two of which are somewhat similar, but they're not. So I want us to actually look at the four ways that I've come up with. You may see another one that we look at. But the first that I want to look at this morning, you know, there are three ways that we attempt to get there, and in one way that we do get there. And the first is our way. As a church, I want to use that as a stepping stone. I want to use that as a broad statement. I'm not saying the first three ways are my way, your way, and our way. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that right now as we break them down. But I want to start with our way. And the reason I want to start with it this way is this. This is probably the most seen within the church as a whole. This is probably the most seen within a body of believers. And here's what I mean. That it is our way of trying to change the world to what we want it to be. And I know that may not make full sense this morning, but we try and tell everyone what they should and shouldn't believe. This is why I get frustrated with denominational battles. This is why I get frustrated with the conversation about, well, I'm not going to the church because it's just a bunch of hypocrites. I'm glad you think it's a bunch of hypocrites, but if the hypocrites weren't here, then we wouldn't have church. Just going to throw that out there. There's not a single one of us in here who hasn't sinned. So
people, we got room for one more.
We've got plenty of room for one more. Take a picture with you and send it to them. But, you know, I'm not saying that this way is not grounded in God in some ways, because I'm not saying that the church has decided to go a different direction than God. What I'm saying is that we tend to form our own assumptions as to what God is saying in His Word. And many times we form entire churches off of misunderstanding of the Scripture. Many times we have seen churches who have taken a stance that the church shouldn't take. And this is on both sides of the coin. We can see it throughout. We tend to be very judgmental about others and their actions, but too many times we find ourselves forgetting that we also have things that we deal with in our own personal lives. Or we also have things that we deal with within this body of the church. Now, I can tell you right now, we can talk about other congregations all we want. We can talk about how this church doesn't do this or that church doesn't do that. And I'm as guilty as anyone. But what I can say is this. We're not without our problems. We're not without our shortcomings. We're not without our faults. And within the church today, we see too many churches who are downing other churches or downing other denominations when we all are part of one church. We're part of the bigger church. The big C church, as I've called it before. The church of God. The church that exists as the bride of Christ. Because it doesn't matter if we're from a Christian church or a Baptist church. On the day of judgment, God's not going to ask us which denomination we belong to. I fully believe that God is just going to ask us why He should let us in. And we'll talk about what that answer should probably be later. But I can promise you it's not, "Well, I was a good person." I'm glad you were a good person, but we'll get to why that's not the answer that God wants here in a bit. But our job as the church is not to condemn people to hell. Our job as a congregation and the body of Christ is not to condemn others to hell. And if you don't believe me, you know, our job is to make sure that we are discerning the will and living out God's word through the Holy Spirit. The best example I can think of, and I'm not trying to talk necessarily about a denomination or a specific congregation. I'm only talking about this congregation because of the news. Because they've been in the news for years. And that's Westboro Baptist. And the way that they carry themselves on picket lines. The way that they go out and they put signs up. I'm not saying that they aren't grounded in what God is trying to say to people, but there's a better way to get people in the church than to scare them. Because many run the other way when they think that they're being condemned to hell, when they think that things are becoming bigger than they are. You know, the biggest misconception that the world has with the church today comes from folks who claim to be part of the church, who are condemning them to hell, and they're also living a life that is not exactly what it should be. And they begin to say, "Well, why do I want to be a part of something that's just that hypocritical? They condemn me to hell over this in my life, but look what they have in theirs." And we'll talk about that in a moment as well, but John 3:16 and 17 tells us how we as the church should be. It tells us exactly who we should be. "For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That doesn't mean that Jesus came to condemn us to hell. And if we are to live a Christ-like example, the word Christian means Christ-like. Yeah, that's why I talked about a few weeks ago, maybe us taking that out and stop calling ourselves Christians and start calling ourselves Christ followers, because people have connotated so many bad things with the word Christian. But to be a Christian means we are striving to be Christ-like. It means we are striving to be something that we know we can be. But we can't be that on our own. Our job as the church is to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Our job as the church is to be the bride of Christ. Our job is to show love no matter what someone's lifestyle is. We may not agree with them. We might not agree with the sin that they are living in. But that is not our place to tell them they're going to hell for it. Yes, the scripture tells us that they are. Yes, we can show compassion and love them through the difficult times in their lives. But it is not our place to judge them and condemn them to hell. That doesn't mean we can't say, hey, I think you're on the road to hell. I think you're on a bad direction. I think your path is not exactly the way it should be. That doesn't mean we can't lovingly do that. But I stress the words lovingly today. Because too many times we as the church have begun to get in there and start to say, well, there's only one way to heaven, and you're going to hell if you're not on it. And it runs people the other way. Because what they see in our lives, what they see in this body, what they see in the church today are men and women who are not living what they say they are living. They are not doing what they say they are doing. They are condemning people to hell because of a sin in their life while they're covering three or four up in their own lives. Folks, people can see through you. They can see through the difficult times. They can see through the struggles. Now, I'm not saying that we don't strive to live perfect lives. But the moment that we think that our trash don't stink is the moment that we start to think that someone's less than we are. And that is not how the church is to be. We must show them the way to God through how we live and not how we tell them to live. Does that make sense to us today? That our way may not be the best way sometimes. Which leads us into the second way, which I want to call my way. And this is going to be a little more personal. It's the same thing. These first three are basically the same thing with just a few minor twists and tweaks. But my way is my way. And I'm going to just throw it out there. It's very similar to how we act as a church, but this brings it down to a personal level. This brings it down to me. My way is how I believe I can get to God. It's how I believe I'm supposed to go. And maybe for me, it falls under how I interpret the scripture. How I think that I need to carry myself, or even what I feel someone should be doing with their life. In other words, my way is what each one of us feel and interpret within ourselves. When you look at it in my way. Not that you're looking at it the way I see it. The reason two and three are actually the same thing. Because we always want to try and get someone to do the things and to see the things the way we want them to see them or do them. But my way becomes your way when I'm talking about you. So you see, my way and your way are the same way, only with a few minor changes. Because my way is not going to be the same as Joe's way or Jamie's way. My way is not going to be the same as Lamar's way. But my way is going to be my way. You know, I think of Frank Sinatra. Every time I hear the word my way, I think of Frank Sinatra's, I did it my way. The problem with us today is the simple fact that I might have done it my way, but the world today wants us, every individual person wants to see you do it my way too. I want you to do it my way. Because my way, I know, is a proven way. My way makes me feel better. So I want you to do it my way. So that way there are no questions when it's all said and done. Because you've done it the proper way. Because it was my way, right? That's how we like to present ourselves. That's how we like to show people the way it is. But the thing is that, you know, Frank Sinatra sang that song. And if you really listen to the lyrics of that song today, what you find is that he's basically saying that every other way he might have tried was wrong. He says, you know, talking about maybe being knocked down. People saying you can't do it this way or that way. But he says, I did it my way. And he reached the top. You know, that's what he's trying to say in the lyrics of that song. My way is how I view things. Your way is how you view things. And how we carry ourselves. And the problem with both is that there are many different outside forces. Many different things within the world today that can act on our ways. If we look at all three of these things today in this way, what we see is that we are influenced by many outside objects and forces that can lead us and influence our view and influence how we view others. And it takes us down a path that we were not intended to go. Don't believe me? Watch the news for 5 minutes. You know, everybody's talking about fake news right now. I'm not going to talk about fake news. The only real news is Jesus Christ died for us. I'll just tell you that right now. That shouldn't even be news anymore. Because we've got to believe that. But the media loves to twist and turn and try to force a point of view. Whoever's telling the story has the power in that circumstance and situation to take that point of view exactly where they think it should go. And we see that on a daily basis. If you watch the news for 5 minutes and you watch it on CNN, then you go to headline news, then you go to Fox News, you're going to see three different reports on three different on the same topic, and you're going to have three different points of view because the reporter sharing the story is going to put their own personal touch on that story. On one side, you might feel it's one way. On the other side, you might feel it's another. And you may somewhere along the way find one that's kind of in the middle. But the truth be told, are we really getting a straight story any way that we look? Or maybe it's just other people's influence. Maybe it's conversations that we overhear around us. Maybe it's conversations that we have with others. Maybe it's someone that we come up on during the day. Or maybe it's a movie or a television show. You know, one of the big things that's up in arms right now is the portrayal of characters on Saturday Night Live. I've heard them talking about it on the news recently, about how, well, that's just a twist on the character, but some people get their news that way because they think that when you poke fun at someone, you're bringing out their flaws. But are we really getting to know the real person? Or are we finding out a lot more about the character actor that's portraying that person? I don't know. What I do know is that we let things happen. We let things go on around us. We let things tell us where we're right and where we're wrong, and we're not doing it with the Word of God. We're allowing everything but the Word of God to touch our heart, to touch our mind, to break us down, to show us what they think is right and wrong, and we start to form opinions. Now, I want to tell you one thing that's very dangerous in this outcome is what's happening right here. I'm your pastor. I'm a preacher. I share my opinion on Scripture. You take that with you. But I would encourage you today, find your own interpretation of what the Scripture says to you. And if you question something I say, come to me with it. Because I want us to work together to see where we as a body stand. Because I want our way to be the right way. But I'm not going to tell you what the right way is, and I hope you don't tell me what the right way is, other than we work together and we find the right way together and know that we're doing it correctly. The reason I say that is simply this. We neglect to hear the Holy Spirit, or we start to think things that have to have God speaking through them because it happened in a way we wanted it to. Because it was our way, but we kind of twisted it and we put God in a box with it and we said, okay, if it happens this way, then I know it's God. We kind of do what Gideon did. Gideon laid out a fleece and said, all right, God, if that's what you want me to do, I want to do around the fleece, but not on it. So God did it. He said, all right, God, I think that was you, but not real sure. How about fleece on or do on the fleece, but not on the ground? God did it, and he goes, okay, God, but seriously, how many times do we do that? How many times do we know God's speaking to us, but we turn it away because it doesn't fit the box that we had for him? It doesn't fit the idea of what we thought should happen in that circumstance. You know, we start to really get mixed up on what's taking place. Maybe it's a thought we had and we were like, well, I really want this to happen. And somewhere along the way, our desires begin to manifest themselves as God's will for our lives. And we won't take anything less than one specific answer. Anything less than that is not God's will. There's no way God could lead me down a different path. I'm so certain this is exactly the way I need to go that I'm going to neglect the rest of what might be taking place around me because I am just positive that there is no way God doesn't want this for my life. Really? I can tell you right now, if Jesus had had that mentality, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. Stephen wouldn't have been stoned. Peter wouldn't have been crucified. John wouldn't have been exiled to Patmos. The disciples would have never walked away from their fishing jobs so that they could have a job following a man around who everyone deemed crazy. I'm going to tell you right now, their plans for their lives did not include Jesus Christ until the day he showed up and he said, "Follow me." And they knew there was something different about him and they walked. They gave up everything. They gave up businesses, family businesses. They gave up good jobs. Think about Matthew. He had a tax collecting job. I mean, he had the ability to pad his own pockets with taxes because he knew what Rome wanted from him. Double it, put the rest in your pocket, and move on. But think about it. Maybe our plan doesn't include God as much as we think it does. Included in this would be many different interpretations of what the scripture says. We might look at the same scripture. I might look at it, Sherry might look at it, Joe might look at it, and we might all three come up with something different today. Because it might speak to us where we are. But today I want us to understand that we feel the need to base our interpretations on things that we can explain. This is why science has such a hold on what happened at the beginning of time. Because we can see the things around us. We know that evolution takes place in a small factor because we see that bacteria evolves and becomes immune to antibiotics or things of that nature. So we know that there's a small semblance of evolution that does take place. Does that mean we all came from one cell? Absolutely not. But what we see in this world around us today is that there's deception on every level, and it all comes from a simple desire for us to want to be able to explain things because we can see things, because we can feel things. We need to know the answer. The answer to that is this: we don't. The reason questions are so evident within our world today is because we got this desire to have everything explained for us. But sometimes the biggest blessing comes when we have no explanation. When the doctors can look at each other dumbfounded because somebody has walked away that they said would die. Those are the best moments in the world. Because we know the power that's so great that saw someone do it. They saw someone through the power that healed them. And they were able to walk through the doors of the hospital with a clean bill of health. And they were given 24 hours to 48 hours to live. Think about that. There are people who have knocked on death's door and turned and walked the other way because God had a different plan. There are people who were maybe within minutes of dying. And somehow God delivered them from that. And it was unexplainable. There's no way to explain how someone walked away from certain circumstances, but they did. You know, we use what we know rather than trusting in our faith. We use what we think we know anyway. Let me put it that way. We use what makes sense to us. We use what explanations we have. And we try to turn it around and try to force others to see it our way. Or see it your way or my way or their way or however it might be. Whatever the fact is, we deceive ourselves on many different things. And as time goes by, we start to see these deceptions play out around us. We start to see the deceptions that are happening in the world today. And before I move on to the fourth way this morning, I want to take a look at where we've been this morning. These three ways that I've mentioned so far, we must realize that we have failed to see things the way we should be seeing things in those situations. We try to show and sometimes even make others see the path that they should be on. We try to force others to take a path that we think they should take. We try to send someone down a road because it worked for us. So this is where I want to come back to the question for a moment. You know, we're not following the Holy Spirit's lead, and in many cases, we're leading someone astray because we're dead certain that the God of the universe is doing what we think he's doing, and it's the only way he can be doing it. And you're right. If that way is one simple way. And we're going to take a look at God's way here in a minute. But before I do that, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 7. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. But I want us to go to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to explain this to us this morning in this way. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Do I need to explain that to us this morning, or do we get it? There's a plank and a splinter, is the way we've heard it many times. You may have a splinter in your eye, but I can't see it for the beam in mine. At least that's the way it should be. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes we think people have a splinter in their eye. Maybe it's just a splinter hanging off the beam that is in ours. Because we start to get so wrapped up in what's going on with us. But here's the thing, we're more concerned with everyone else than we are with our own. We are more concerned with what someone else has going on in their lives than we are for our own. Excuse me. We who are following the Spirit of God to lead us will find a way to go. We want to correct everyone on their path while we try to cover over the things that we do. I want to present it to you this way today. Sin is sin, no matter how you look at it, and no matter whose life it's in. Unfortunately, we talk about the plank and the splinter. This is the only time I can see in Scripture where it's almost kind of saying that that sin might be unequal. But I'm going to tell you right now, the reason that it looks like a splinter in someone else's eye is all a matter of perspective. Because from their perspective, that splinter is also a beam. I'm just going to throw that out there for you today. We all have one. We all have something in our life that keeps us from seeing someone else's sin in the proper light. Until we remove it and we become at one with God and we start to see things God's way. The thing about it is in this way, let me talk about it in terms of what we did in Sunday school. Paul had a thorn in his side. I'll tell you right now, if Paul thought his thorn was greater than anyone else's or thought that their thorn was greater than his, he wouldn't have viewed life the way he did. He wouldn't have asked God to remove his thorn so many times, but God used it for his glory. But Paul understood he needed to get that thorn out of his side before he could help anybody with theirs. But my thorn's not greater than your thorn, and your thorn's not greater than my thorn. We're all in this together. What we need to see today is there are two extremes that we seem to see people doing, and they typically fall under one of two categories. I want to quickly run through these this morning, but the first category is the me and God got this worked out category. The one where, well, I don't want to bother anybody with my faith. I don't want to bother anybody with what the world has. Me and God got this worked out. He knows where I stand. I know where he is, and he knows my heart. He does. He does know your heart. But if you're not living it out, he definitely knows your heart. You and God may have something worked out, but it's not what you think it is. The danger in this is that we are deceiving ourselves and we're deceiving others. And we may be leading someone down a wrong path because we're letting them think that their lifestyle is okay. We're letting them think that what they are doing in life is correct because we're saying, hey, you know what? You do you. We're saying to someone today, maybe, well, you got to live life, or you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, that's not what people need to hear sometimes. Well, he's young, he needs to experience it. He'll be back, don't worry about it. God has a standard for us to live by. God has set a standard for us today, and we do fail on a daily basis. I'm just going to throw that out there to you. If you don't think you do, I really encourage you to take a look at your life this week. Somewhere during each day, you're going to find that you fail God. Or you're going to feel that you do. You may not. You might not have failed God that day, but you might feel that you have. Maybe it was a decision you didn't make. Maybe it was a decision you did make. Doesn't matter what it is. We cannot deceive ourselves into thinking that we are not to be set apart from this world. So they're not going to listen if you look like them. They're not going to listen to the words you have to say if you look exactly like them, but yet there's something different because you go to church and you talk about it every once in a while. That's wonderful. I'm glad you do. I'm glad you're in church today, but what does your life look like the other 6 days of the week? Do people see God's way within you? Because that is the fourth way. God's way. The only way to God is His way. So, do you and God really have it worked out today? Do you and God really have this worked out, or is it a comfort statement that you make? Others should be able to tell that we are different, not because of what we say, but because of what we do. Our words should not have to be spoken if we are truly living our lives according to the gospel. We must not become too lenient that we begin to allow any lifestyle to be okay. We must not become too lenient to where we don't maybe take up a battle every once in a while. But again, I want to go back to something I said earlier. If we are going to take up a battle against a lifestyle that we deem sinful, we better lovingly do that and not condemn them to hell because we also have a lifestyle that is sinful. It just may not look like theirs. But we live a life that is not worthy without the blood of Christ. The second thing that I want us to look at, it kind of plays off of the first, and it's the I'm right, you're wrong mentality. I'm telling you, we fit into one of these two categories. Whether we want to admit it or not, whether we say those words or not, most people fit into these two categories. Either I'm right and you're wrong, or me and God got this worked out and you can do what you wish because you and God probably have it worked out too. I'm going to tell you right now, the I'm right and you're wrong mentality, the danger in this is that we immediately exclude everyone else but ourselves and anyone that thinks like us. And that's a dangerous place for the church to be. That is a dangerous place for us to be today, is in a mentality that we're right, you're wrong, and we are the only ones who are going to see this through to the end. You know, I'm not saying that we are wrong in that. What I'm saying is that there's a loving way to share it, but to tell someone they're wrong and not give them a chance to see it for themselves only causes problems. It's only going to cause deceit and dissension. It's only going to cause discourse along the way. What ways are you right? If you have that mentality today, what ways are you right? You've formed your own opinions from the scripture, but are they truly right? Have we allowed the Holy Spirit to help us discern that? Or have we just made up our mind that that's exactly what it says? Have we made up our mind because a preacher told us that one time 15 years ago and we just never changed our mind based on that? You know, this leads us to that final way that I mentioned, and it takes us back to John 14, and it takes us back to Jesus answering a question. And Jesus simply saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You know, the question that was sent there, that was said there, Thomas asked him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? We don't know where God's going, and how do we know the way? And Jesus begins to tell the story. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He goes on to say, I love this. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." In other words, Jesus basically straight up tells Thomas, if you know me, you know God. Because I am him. Because I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to him but through me. In other words, what Jesus is saying is there is one way for us to go. It's plain and it's simple. It doesn't come in our interpretations of Scripture. It doesn't come in our requirements, but in God's. And that requirement is simply this, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the only way. Now, that path might look differently for you than it does for me. I don't know how many of you have seen Finding Dory. If you haven't, I don't know if you want to. I'm just going to spoiler alert real quickly on this one. Dory gets lost. Her parents then try to find her. They find their way out of this museum or whatever that they were in. Well, you start seeing flashbacks to her childhood, and they had made a shell path. And she has short-term memory loss. And one of the only things that she could remember was to follow the shells home. And one of the scenes when she finds her parents comes in, and you see her start to remember that path out in the open ocean. And there are many paths that lead to that home because her dad had been going out and laying shells on different paths, hoping that one day she would find one of them. I fully believe that God does that for us. My path is going to look different than yours, but when we find it and we follow it home, we're going to find what we're looking for. We have a path that's laid out for us. It's not laid out for anyone else. But that path does look a specific way, and we need to know what to look for. And I know we're running a little past time, but it's how we roll. Or at least me, anyway. But the thing we see in this is this. Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth and the only life we need. Meaning that, yes, there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, and we must have that personal relationship with him. And we can't get there by following our own ways. When we follow our own ways, we find ourselves farther than when we started. We find ourselves struggling to get by. And we can't get there by following the ways that others want us to follow. Even if we can't remember the way back, there's things that will always lead us back. Even if we can't find the signs we're looking for right now, stay the course. Because there is a path and you will find it. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I want to take you to Luke chapter 13 real quickly. I'm not going to spend much time here. I just want to read this scripture for us today. It says, "And he went through the cities and villages teaching," starting in verse 22. Then in verse 23 it says, "And then one said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." You see where we're going with this today? There is one way. There is one gate. There is one path. We might get to that gate differently. But when we reach the gate, it's a straight path. It says, "When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. He shall say an answer to you. I know not whence ye are. And then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first and first which shall be last. There are paths that are going to take us where we need to go. There are paths that are going to lead you to that straight gate. There are paths that are going to take you directly to Jesus Christ. They may come from the north. It may come from the south. You may come from the east or the west. But are you going to be the one that stands there and gets there just a little bit too late? And you stand there and knock and say, "But Lord, I was in your house every Sunday. But Lord, I was doing this. I was doing that. I was a good person." And he's going to say, "I don't know who you are." You may have thought that he did. You may have had that understanding. You had an understanding with God, right? But that day is going to come where you stand at the gate and you knock for all you're worth. And it's just going to be that. You knock. And then finally you hear a voice from the other side that says, "Stop. You're not getting in. I don't know you." You know that verse there, Luke 13:24, says, "Many will try to enter, but few will." Are you going to be part of the few, or are you going to be part of the many today? Many will try to enter. But either you enter or you don't. And if you're trying to enter, it means you didn't enter, right? So do you need to find the way today? Do you need to find your way out of this trouble you're in? The answer to the question is simply yes. There is only one way to God. Or maybe, no, there are not many ways to God. I don't know. It depends on how you ask the question. But what we do know is this. There is one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Jesus is the gate that we enter in. And he told us that. He told us the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven is through him. Because he is the way, but he's also the truth and the life, which means that our life needs to come through him. And the truth is in him. Man never lied. Right? And he didn't sin, so he couldn't have lied. So if he tells us there's only one way, then we've got to believe that. We've got to trust that. If he tells us he is the way, then we've got to believe that. We've got to trust that. And if we want truth in our lives, we've got to find the way. If we want truth to run free in our lives and to be truthful in all circumstances, we got to find a way. It starts with opening our closets and letting some things out. It starts with taking care of some of the things that we've kept captive within us for so long. Because for us to find that straight way, for us to find that straight gate, yes, we may have had a path that led us one way or another. We may have found a path and started following it the wrong way. And we've come to the end of everything that we thought we knew. Turn around. You've got God waiting for you at the end of that path, looking for a chance to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But you got to get there before the door closes, because otherwise you're going to stand at the gate and knock. And it's not going to be open to you, because you're going to stand there and you're going to hear from the other side, "I don't know who you are. Away from me. Just leave us be. We don't know each other. You're a stranger." Is that what you want to hear on that judgment day? That God doesn't know who you are? Because if you come to that gate thinking you and God have an understanding and it doesn't include Jesus Christ in a personal relationship, you and God have not got an understanding. A personal relationship doesn't mean you're going to call somebody every 6 to 8 months. That you're going to show up twice a year at their home. It doesn't mean that you're going to call them on the phone every time you need something, but you're never going to answer when they call you. I mean, that's not how family works. That's not how a relationship works. But for some reason, we think it is. You do that with your friendships and your relationships here on earth, they're not going to last long. You don't marry someone and only talk to them every 5 years just so that you can do whatever it is you need to do. Because Christ is looking for a bride that is communicating with him. He's looking for a bride that's ready to be what she needs to be.
So there is only one way to Christ today. There's only one way.